It's what you all been waiting for. Turn on to a team. The segment with the beautiful Tina P. From Crusher Marks.
Hey, all you hardcore rockers. This is Tina, and you're turned on with Tina. Welcome to my show. Tonight I have a very special guest, Brian Greenway from April Wine. April Wine was recently inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame during Canadian Music Week. As most of you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago. And Brian and I were both pretty busy during Canadian Music Week, so we decided to hook up last week and do the interview that we both had been wanting to do for at least 2 or 3 weeks now. April Wine is a great straight-ahead rock band. They've been a Canadian fixture for almost 40 years now, have gone through quite a few band member changes over the years, but never disappoint their fans with their incredible live rock concerts and live performances. This was a really fun interview for me to do. First of all, Brian is hilarious. And near the end of the interview, I wanted to throw him off a bit to ask him some, well, kind of silly questions. And we ended up having a lot of fun with this interview. He was a terrific sport about answering them and had me in hysterics for the most part. What ended up happening was when I listened back to our recording, I sounded like a lunatic because he had me laughing that hard. So unfortunately, or fortunately maybe for you guys, I ended up editing out some of my laughter because it was just craziness. It was a lot of fun. After the interview, Brian thanked me and told me he had a good time doing it, and that's what I love to hear. So here we go. Here's my interview with Brian Greenway from Canada's very own April Wine.
And I got a fresh beer, so I'm good.
You got a fresh beer, right on. You didn't have enough at lunch with boys, huh?
Only had one.
You only had one? Impressive.
Well, I had to drive afterwards.
Okay.
I lost my license years ago when I was a teenager.
Did you really?
Back when it wasn't that, they slapped your wrist and you lost your license for a year and that was it. So I learned my lesson.
Wow, that's all
I learned my lesson. I paid my debt to society and I feel like I've been rehabilitated.
Okay, well, all right. So first of all, I want to say congratulations on your induction to the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, Brian, you and the band, of course. I was going to ask you, what was that like for you guys? And, I mean, in my opinion, I thought it was long overdue. So I was kind of curious if you were surprised when you were told of the induction, or did you kind of feel the opposite, like, why did it take so long?
Well, I didn't know if we'd ever be inducted. I mean, it was taking such a long time, and sometimes in life, things just don't happen that you want to have happen, you know? And when it was finally announced,
Yeah, so did I.
I don't know. must have made somebody angry years ago there, and they're still in a post of four people that don't want to give it to us. Either that or, hell, it is 2009, and if they didn't want to give it to us, or we lost, we lost. No, they didn't want to give it to us. We were nominated, right? And so if you don't win, you don't win. There's that side of it to look at. There's only can be one winner, and then there's four losers in a category of five.
Right.
From where you go from there, should you felt that you should have had one? Do the actors feel they should have had an Oscar or a Grammy? Perhaps, but it's the powers that be that decide to award them to you. Do I feel like I should have had one? I'm not sure. Some of the bands that did get them weren't around a year later.
Yeah. Including himself, no doubt. How is Miles doing? How's his health doing?
Good. He's very good. unknown situation that was creeping up in life, and some things do, you don't think about it, and all of a sudden your body tells you, I ain't rigged. And, I've had that kind of thing happen too, but not quite as serious as him. But he needed just to take a break, and he's used it to his advantage, where he quit a lot of places.
Did he?
He quit smoking. He quit, but you know, you just get yourself in shape. We're all getting older, and we get to that point where life is so much fun, and you're having fun doing it, and you finally one day you got to stop doing things.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the case with everyone, and this is one of those things that's caught up with him. And he survived it well, and lucky for him, and luckily caught it. And we're back ready, and he's healthy, ready to go.
The band signed with ARM Entertainment in the U.S. last year, and I was ARM Entertainment?
Yes.
In the U.S. last year, and I was wondering if that's starting to pay off for the band in regards to getting some tour dates over the border.
Well, I count, including the ones we've done, 11 shows on our tour dates that are their responsibility this year. And that's probably about 9 more than we did last year. And it's only March.
And it's only March, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's a great partnership then with them. You're happy with them?
Well, so far, yes. And then with us as well. It's, we've had an absence in the States of probably 6 or 7 years of being everywhere down there, at least in our markets. And people are happy to see us. And you know, we haven't seen somebody in that long a time. We're in Canada, you know, we're a perennial. And this year we won't be as perennial in Canada as we've usually been. And I'm thinking back to the 1981, 1982. Well, we didn't tour Canada for a few years because we were busy elsewhere in the world. And it made the market a better place for us here when we did come back and play it.
What album and which song from April Wine's long list of accomplishment would you say is your favorite to perform live, and why?
Well, it goes and comes, you know. Like, I used to say we signed a Gypsy Queen because I'm a sucker for progressions in minor keys, and it was a great solo to play in a minor key. But some new stuff we've been doing, new stuff new in the show this year that we haven't done in a while, from Nature of the Beast. We haven't done maybe in 15 years that I'm really enjoying it. And having Blair in there and Breen playing it for the first time too, it's very fresh, like almost like we're doing it for the first time again. So I don't really have a favorite anymore. I'm just enjoying the show. But my favorite album to record was Harder Faster in 1979, the summer of 1979. We were at the studio in Morton Heights.
And why is that?
Well, it's the studio in Moore Heights, if you've never heard of it or been there, it's picture this. It's like you have a large private lake with a house the band stays at one end and a studio at the other, which is like another big house full of the best equipment that money can buy at the time and great people running it. And I'd go by rowboat, my little Jerry would swim to the studio. Even then, if you drove it, it took maybe 2 minutes. But you were the only people there. You'd block bookings, so you'd have it for 3 months. So nobody would be there but you. And if you're there in the summertime, it's like going to a really amazing summer camp.
Yeah, like a cottage.
Like a cottage, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything was done first class. There'd be someone to cook for you at supper time, or you could route to St. Sever, a little town, or just a 15 minute away for dinner. And half the wall in the studio was glass overlooking the lake, and it was just a really nice feeling, or vibe is what we would say, you know, back then. It was very conducive for being very creative.
I believe that. And is that still a place still around today?
Well, Laundry Ferry sold it some years ago.
Really?
I don't hear much of what's going on. It's and bands don't look to go anywhere, you know, for 3 or 4 months at a time anymore, and live there because of the economics and the prices of doing it. I'm glad to have been able to experience that a couple of times. Like Nature of the Beast was recorded in England, doing the same thing, staying at the Manor Studios for about 3 months.
Wow. hear that anymore. I've never really heard of a band, like, in today's era, talk about, you know, locking themselves off for 3 months and going to a place like that and just chilling and concentrating on the music. That would be very conducive to creative juices, I would imagine.
Well, you know, it would cost you probably between $3,000 or $5,000 a day.
Really?
And I don't know if people have those kind of budgets anymore. If they are, they're probably not spending exactly the same manner. But it was a lot of fun doing it. But hey, that was the late '70s and early '80s, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was too much fun and an experience of a lifetime.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, you just don't hear that anymore.
No, I guess not. I don't. And I don't. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
Ask any other veteran band or older band, and they all have a story about some place they went to just like that, you know, somewhere.
Huh. Well, the band's been around for 40 years, a feat not matched by many other bands out there today. Brian, what do you account for the longevity of April Wine?
Well, our fans have always supported us. Our music has always been to them not a message. We're not saying anything in the music. We're not dating ourselves by saying anything political. It's just our music has always been a fun time for them, and that's what they always say. Our music has been a series of firsts in their life for them. The first song I did this to, it was our wedding song. The first time I did that, I was listening to Maple Wine. And it seems to bring back a lot of happy periods for people, and that this is what I've heard time and time and time again, and not just for one generation, for a lot of generations.
And you put that solely onto the fans, the reason that April Wine's been together and...
Well, without a fan base, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to play anywhere. Now, there's other artists that don't play anywhere anyway, but they have a fan base. They just don't go on the road. Not so much, perhaps, these days, but fans that perhaps aren't together. The music itself, you know, Miles wrote some classic tunes, but once again, it gets into the music. What was he saying? He was saying stuff that everyday people lived and thought and did.
Right, it could relate to the lyrics.
Yeah. We weren't, you know, being green or we weren't like Yes, or like Genesis, or we were just a simple three-chord rock and roll band having fun with life, and everybody went along with it. With the fans, they were having fun in life too. And to keep it coming back and to keep listening to it, as nostalgia is, not that we're a nostalgia band, but if you hear anything that makes you feel good, it brings you back to a time when you feel great, and that's good medicine.
I would agree with that. All right, now, I know I promised not to ask you too many silly questions, Brian. Okay, but how about a few fun ones? Are you up for that?
Well, we'll see what we have.
Okay, these are silly. You gotta go with the flow.
All right.
Okay, what would be your pro wrestling name?
My pro wrestling name? Oh, that took me off guard. Oh, you know, I'm not a big person. It would be something like The Rock or The Hulk.
Okay.
Probably The Jester.
The Jester? Okay. Pretend you're 15.
I always do.
Okay, pretend you're 15. Name three songs you'd put on a mixtape for your girlfriend.
A big 10-inch. You know that one?
No.
No? When I saw my big 10-inch, well, because I was a bad ass playing on that. Put on Blister. I don't know if it's called that.
Okay, I was kind of going in a different direction when you mentioned that, but...
Okay. Some people do misunderstand me.
I'm sure they do.
Two more. I was 15 years old, and, let's spend the night together.
Okay. One more.
I'm 15. It can be from any era.
Well, sure, you're 15. You can do anything you want. you want. You're making a mixtape for your girlfriend, right?
Yep. Yeah, she's my girlfriend. I've been seeing her for a long time. Always been, and you guys have been.